Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I just have questions for him, but I want him to talk to you. I think it's a great opportunity for an outgoing coach who has a new opportunity in front of him to kind of speak to the fan base and talk about his memories and, you know, what it was about for him. And Mario Cristobal is joining us now. How are you, man?
Well, you know, obviously very difficult 24, 36 hours. But, you know, as running around trying to get things situated and organized, just wanted to take the opportunity to just thank everybody because it was the best professional and personal experience of my life, for my kids, for myself. Very, very just warm, loving people that accepted us, and we dove in 100 miles per hour and 100%. And you know, we feel very proud of these players, these people. I mean, the opportunity to team up with Phil Knight, with Rob Mullins, best mentors I've ever had. And, you know, upon arrival, being 4-8 and being able to leave and say, you know what, there's a couple Pac-12 championships in there. There's a Rose Bowl championship in there. There's a top five finish in there. And the best, the most talented players are young on the roster. It's the future is super bright and certainly painful to leave. Very difficult, very thankful. I get it. I get the profession. I get the backlash that comes with a departure. But it's difficult. I'm going to go coach where I played. And I just, nothing but gratitude, nothing but well wishes, just a very thankful heart, and wishes everybody the best.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned the 4-8. You guys come in, as an assistant coach. You're in the wake of a lot of chaos. I think people were worried about the stability of the program, and now you leave it with, it's a 10-win season, and, you know, people are still belly aching because the expectations were so high. And I think you guys got to be proud of that as a staff. You know, your mom, your family, the cousins your kids will have in South Florida, I think the vast majority of people understand it. From a family standpoint, your family has to be really excited.
Well, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, it's okay for people not to understand. And it's okay for people to be upset. And it's okay for people to be happy. I don't judge. I just, when granted an opportunity like I have for the past 5 years, it's just 100% in, all in, every ounce. And you can look in the mirror at night when you do something like that. And it's hard. It's unexplainable. You can't put it in words, the difficulty of moments like this. And players and coaches, we are in a profession that is as wild and as crazy, as untimely as you could ever imagine, because there is no structure as it relates to moves, both players and coaches. So it's you always hope and pray that you surround yourself with great people and you're riding with them as hard as you can and as long as you can, and are grateful for the memories and the opportunities, and you just keep going. And so, again, man, just grateful beyond belief. You know, I'm glad. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity just to express gratitude, because it's just forever. I mean, yeah. endless gratitude, man.
Well, it's been fun. I loved having you on the show. I said when you were hired, you were going to get to the playoff. You flirted around with it. Is that going to stick with you? Are you going to look back and go, man, that is the one thing? Or what sticks with you as you look back?
Well, I mean, you know, we were right there on the cusp. You know, you love being 3-0 against Washington. You love being undefeated against USC. Had the chance to play UCLA 3 times, undefeated against them as well. And, you know, our record in the Pac-12 and overall over the past 4 years is the best of all the Pac-12 teams, a wide margin, you know. So, and the best players and the most talented players are returning and are freshmen and sophomore. So I think everyone's got to feel real good that the future is really, really set up well for whoever has the honor and the opportunity to come on in and coach those guys.
Advice you would give to Oregon as you look back, because obviously you're going on to Miami, you've got challenges in front of you, but what advice do you give if we're doing an exit interview here for the Oregon program?
Hey, Doug, same advice that my dad would give me. You just go 100 miles per hour, 100% with everything you have, and appreciate the absolute just the people that surround the place, the professionalism, the administration, the fans. It's just a very unique place, as special as it gets. It's been the best experience of my professional career, and personally as well, because my kids were just they love it and will always love it. And so I would say understand the blessing that you have and work hard as you can to be a great blessing to all those around you.
Recruiting, you did it well. You did it like nobody else had done it at Oregon. Did you find that being in Eugene was a detriment, being in the Pac-12 was a detriment, or are those just excuses that coaches got to overcome?
I don't know what other coaches do or say. I just know that there's three top 10 classes sitting right there on the roster, and they're all puppies, okay? They're all young guys. Like, their best football is over the next 2 and 3 years. It's revved up and ready to go.
Mario Cristobal, I was talking to people who were in your circle, and they were saying this was a difficult decision for you. How difficult was it? I don't think anybody blames you for going home. I don't.
Well, I mean, I really don't have a circle. I just kind of work. Whenever I get to see the kids and the wife, I do. So it's the most grueling, difficult, painful decision that is, and I'm glad it is. I would be disappointed in myself if it wasn't. And if it wasn't that way, then it wasn't real. Every part about this thing was real, every ounce of investment. So let it hurt, let it be painful. At the same time, happy for those and for myself going forward. And just will be always huge, huge fan cheering from afar, man. Always. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah. And before I cut you loose, is there anything Oregon could have done, or does it just become, this is the one job?
No, I don't think. I don't even get into that, because now you're just forward thinking and you just move forward. This was, this is as unexpected of a thing as you can imagine. As I think everyone will tell you, I never saw any change in my life for the next several years. And in this profession, I guess you should never say never, because things happen. So, but, people understand. They're really happy for us. They understand how difficult it was. And they also understand that, there have been great relationships and friendships formed. And because of that, those, if they're real, you sustain those no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. So I certainly expect to have several friends and family members on the West Coast.
All right. I know it's emotional when you are building, and you're relentless in your approach at Oregon. You now face a rebuild at Miami, where you're going to have to duplicate what you just did at Oregon. How do you psychologically get up for that? Or, is that just the world you live in?
I missed you for a good chunk there because my phone went out.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear what you had asked.
Basically, look, you took over that Oregon program, and we talk about 4-8 before you arrived, and now two Pac-12 championships. You're in a title game on Friday night, last Friday night, and now you go to Miami. You'll be asked to duplicate that, and it's grueling. Psychologically, how do you deal with approaching that task at Miami?
Well, I think it's grueling if it's a job. This has never been a job. This has always been a vocation. And the members on our staff have always been about this being a vocation. And when that's the case, you're never truly working. You're just going. And so that's just the way I operate. I've been blessed to just have a family that just raised me that way. And that's just the way we roll.
We've enjoyed having you on the show. I appreciate you. I those kids in the hallway in the Autzen Stadium press box, I think we'll see them on a college football field someday. And I'll go, I remember those little guys. Excited for you in the next chapter, and I'm interested to see what Oregon does here. But, Coach, I appreciate you popping on. Nobody does this. It says a lot about you.
Well, I appreciate you having me. I appreciate everyone and anything Oregon. And God bless, man. Go crush it. Keep being champions and take it to another.
All right, Mario Cristobal, I'm going to cut you loose. There he is, Ducks coach. Short and sweet, 10 minutes with him, but doing an exit interview, talking about the roster. I want your takeaways from what you just heard. Zach, your quick takeaway. You hear Mario Cristobal talking about the roster, the talent, with gratitude.
Man, just a class act from a class guy. I told you before, I have the utmost respect for Mario Cristobal. And, you know, I think what really stood out to me was when he said, not everyone has to understand this decision. You know, it's okay if not everyone understands. But he made the best decision for himself, his family. You got to respect that. I wish him well in his endeavors at Miami. I know it's a dream opportunity for him. I'm really happy for him. And just keep going. Keep moving forward.
I think also, Adam, let me go to you quickly here before we go to the break, and we'll take a whole bunch of phone calls and get reaction. But your reaction to Mario Cristobal's interview there?
It seemed very genuine. It really did. I like when he said, if this wasn't a really hard decision, it wouldn't have been a problem. I think it was truly, really hard on him. My favorite question you asked that I get why he didn't answer was there anything Oregon could have done? And if I think he answered that in his heart of hearts, he would have said no. Because maybe other than like Alabama or a top SEC job, this is the only job in the country he would leave Oregon for. So, you know, when the news came out, I was a little disappointed, not going to lie, but I get it. I respect it. And unlike Willie Taggart, I actually want him to succeed at Miami.
Yeah. I also think I want your phone calls here. Was I too soft on him? Should I have gone harder in the questioning? You tell me. I'll explain why I went the route I went, but leave it here.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Mario Cristobal appeared on this show just moments ago. I want your reaction to the interview. I get why he's leaving. Not going to rail on him for going home. Miami or Alabama, those were the two jobs that I had long believed would be a problem for Oregon. I didn't think they'd get him in this cycle because of how close Oregon was to the college football playoff. Asked him about that. 10 minutes with Mario Cristobal on a day which he is leaving town. I want your reaction to what you just heard. I give him a ton of credit for coming on the show. Who does that? Nobody does that. Let's go to the phone lines. Jim is in Aloha. Jim, what did you just hear?
Oh, I thought he did a good job. He said what he had to say. But I want to talk about my choices for the new job. I really think we can lure Chris Peterson out of retirement. He loves the outdoors. He's a fly fisherman. I think you can get him for a good price. And also, I think Scott Frost. Frost, you know, didn't do well in Nebraska, but I think he has potential. He was in a lot of close games. They're probably going to fire him this year. But I think Scott Frost, and my long shot is Ed Orgeron. What do you think of those choices?
Yeah, I think you got to consider all of those things. I worry about Orgeron's departure at LSU, and some of the stuff that came out was sloppy. I also worry about Frost, who, frankly, has not done well at Nebraska. He's not done what a lot of people expected him to do. And, you know, I think, you know, it's something you consider. Chris Peterson, I don't think he's going to take the job, but you have to call him. I think it's a call you make. Again, I come back to what I said at the beginning of the show. I think it's going to be either homegrown or super splashy. And I think there's a real division in the fan base of what you want. Now, with Cristobal, the things I had written down that I wanted to talk about, highs and lows. I wanted to ask him about, you know, what advice he would give to Oregon. I wanted to ask him about recruiting to Eugene. Did he find it difficult? I wanted to ask him about, you know, hey, you got this thing. Your goal is to get to the college football playoff. You don't get there. Is that a regret that you have? I'm not interested in when did Miami contact you. Because here's what Mario Cristobal's stance has been all along. It hasn't been him. It's been his agent. And I have communicated with his agent. I am aware of, you know, boosters who were trying to get in touch with Mario Cristobal. And I don't really care, and I don't think it matters. I think we're getting too far in the weeds if we're like, well, when did he start talking to Miami? I think these conversations happen all the time. And what Miami did that maybe Oregon needs to pay attention to is Miami's alumni, former players, boosters, they got passionate and excited about going to get Mario Cristobal. They got involved. They were out on social media. They were blowing him up. It was just this swell of support. So if you are Mario Cristobal, you feel very loved and appreciated and frankly recruited at Miami. And I think that maybe serves as a little bit of glue in this equation. But if you're Oregon, where is Oregon's alumni base? You know, Joey Harrington needs to be out. Marcus Mariota needs to be out. Justin Herbert needs to be out. They need to be out going, who's the next person and how can I help land them? And the donors, the boosters, Phil Knight, his entourage, everybody needs to be doing their part. Let's see the excitement at Oregon, frankly. Jake is in Dallas, Texas. Jake, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Yeah, I thought you went a little soft on him. I did really respect him for coming on because no other coach has done that. So I do really respect that. You can tell in his voice that he did really love Oregon, and he's going to genuinely miss it. But I would have been curious to hear his reaction to the handling of Diaz at Miami. You know, he's such a man of integrity. It would have been interesting to see his thoughts on how Miami handled that.
Yeah, I like that. I will ask him that if I can via text. I also think that could potentially put him in a bad spot. I don't blame him for what Miami's doing, but I'll tell you the picture that I have painted at Miami, and I've been dealing with this since Thursday or Friday. Miami's got a board of trustees that very much was interested in keeping Diaz around. The boosters didn't like that. There's an infusion of wealth in South Florida now with boosters who have money, and they all want to make the decisions. And what was happening early on last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, is I was hearing from some of those boosters who were saying that Cristobal's the guy and it's a done deal. We all heard the reports, right? But the Board of Trustees was very much dug in going, no, 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 this is our process. And I think what you're going to find out is some of the national media members begin to look into the handling of Diaz and Miami's contact with Mario Cristobal is you're going to find out that there were a lot of entities and a lot of parties that were interested in being part of this, and it didn't go normal. It wasn't protocol. Rob Mullins at Oregon didn't get that call from the athletic director at Miami because, frankly, Miami was trying to hire a new athletic director. They were trying to steal Clemson's AD. Like, I just think to put that on Mario Cristobal is too much. I don't think that's him. But if you're out there wondering, like, hey, what's the future of Oregon? I love what he had to say about the recruits. I love what he had to say. You could hear it in his voice, as the last caller said, that this wasn't easy. I think it was a no-brainer in the end because it more than doubles his salary. He gets to go home. His kids get to grow up around their cousins. And, he didn't make it about his family. I do think it is. And he says, his circle is close. Who is my circle? I mean, yeah, he's got a circle, whether he knows it or not. He's got people close to him that were indicating as late as Saturday that Oregon, this still was up in the air with Oregon, even though Miami had put all of its cards on the table. And at that point, I figured out that Oregon was withdrawing their extension offer. That was Sunday night that I learned that. And at that point, we all kind of knew. By the way, that Diaz story, it doesn't count that much in our region. That's a question nationally, sure. Let's go to Tyler, who's in Bellingham, Washington. Tyler, go ahead.
Hey, John, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Yeah, so I just wanted to touch base on Cristobal. You know, as a college football fan, as a Ducks fan, you hate to see him go. You hate the decision. But as a human being, I think you got to understand it. I mean, I listened to the exit interview that he just had, and I mean, I feel like you could hear it in his voice that it was a tough decision. I think he's being genuine about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is, and Oregon football has to move on, find somebody to take over and get us to the CFP.
Yeah, I think, look, if you're Oregon, you know, people, we always ask this of presidents. Thanks, Tyler, for that call. We say, hey, is it better off than it was 4 years ago, right? That's what we do. In Oregon's situation, was it better off now than when Mark Helfrich left it? Yes. Is it better off than when Willie Taggart left it? Yes. Is it better off than when Chip Kelly left it? No. It's not better off. But this is not a bad situation that he's left the program in. They are coming off.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald
Face. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.